Sky Broadcasting and Universal present I'll Never Forget What's His Name, directed by Michael Winner, starring Orson Welles, Oliver Reed, Carol White and Harry Andrews. Also starring Michael Hordern, Wendy Craig, Norman Rodway, Marianne Faithfull and Frank Finlay. Audio description by Robbie Gaston. The handsome, dark-haired 30-something Andrew Quint makes his way along the busy late 1960s London streets. He is smartly dressed in a suit and is casually carrying a sharp silver axe over his right shoulder. His face carries a determined expression. Outside a car showroom, two bystanders turn their heads for a second look at Andrew as he continues his journey. Andrew passes a sign saying the Loot Organisation, Practitioners in Advertising, on his way into his workplace. A security guard salutes him on his way in. Still carrying the axe, he walks into a lift. The tall building is shown from the exterior, then Andrew exits the lift. Two male staff members break their conversation to turn and look at him. A woman also turns to look. Andrew catches the attention of other staff members. He then walks into his office and repeatedly crashes the axe into his desk. Panic-stricken co-workers rush into the office. Women grimace at each strike of the axe. He eventually throws down the axe. A cigar-smoking Jonathan loots office. Jonathan speaks.
Andrew, darling, you're always threatening to resign.
I have resigned.
Don't disturb me, I'm talking to an idiot. Andrew, you aren't considering going over to that gang at Delafield's?
No, I'm getting out of it altogether. I've had enough.
To tell you the truth, dear old chum, there's nothing in the world would give me more pleasure than to give you the sack, but you're so ridiculously good at your job. Oh, yes, I'm afraid there's not another man in the country to touch you. Would you mind handing me that number 5 iron? You verge on genius. Now then, doesn't all that gross flattery convince you that we love you?
I don't like you, Jonathan.
My dear boy, that's got nothing to do with it. I don't much like you.
And what's more, I don't like the work. It's deceitful, superficial, and self-indulgent. And I might add that if you're going to...
Don't add anything. It's all a lot of pretentious rubbish. A nation gets the advertising it deserves.
On the roof, 50-something Lute strikes a golf ball with his club.
As a matter of fact, Andrew, I do quite like you. There's a kind of idiot honesty about you I find rather refreshing. I might say that a great many of my hopes are pinned on you.
Well, you'd better say goodbye to them, Jonathan.
I've always rather wanted to win that top award, you know, that awful gold lady with the triangular bosoms. You seem to be the only man who can get it for me.
Goodbye.
I hope you leave your office as you expect to find it.
Bye-bye.
What are you going to do anyway?
I'm going to find an honest job.
Silly boy. There aren't any.
The smirking Quint leaves the overweight Lute. Lute strikes another ball. It hits a half-naked female sunbather on a roof.
Oh, God. In the rough again.
A flock of birds is disturbed as Andrew brings his stylish grey Italian convertible car to a halt outside a block of flats. Andrew buzzes the doorbell on one of the flats. He then sits on the stairs, tapping a piece of wood with his hand. He watches a woman walk past. He then follows the 30-something woman, Louise, into her flat.
How's the art gallery job?
It's quite cheerful. We like screaming statues that flash lights at you.
And how's your boyfriend?
He's not my boyfriend. He's just a friend. One of several. Thank you.
He opens her dress.
What's that?
It's a bit of my desk. I resigned.
Andrew, why? What are you going to do now?
Work for Nicholas.
Nicholas? Are you crazy? What are you going to live on?
I don't do it for money. Nicholas happens to edit one of the most respected literary journals.
Smaller literary journals.
In the country. He has, of all of us, at least hung on
to his integrity.
Are you going out tonight?
Michael's taking me out to dinner.
Well, what about tomorrow?
James is taking me out to dinner.
Dear sirs, I owe my popularity to the continued use of your soap, which makes me smell so lovely that men come from the four corners of the room to get a sniff. As a matter of fact, I do love you, Louise.
As a matter of fact, I do love you, Andrew.
Now seated in the bedroom, Andrew kisses Louise's hand and presses his head into her bosom.
Hannah will be back in a minute.
She's now back on cue. See you around.
He leaves.
Oh, they have had such fun walking over the park.
Hello, Dick.
And we saw such a funny dog. Say goodbye to Daddy.
Goodbye, Daddy.
His young daughter waves. Andrew is making a mess of frying some eggs. A man in a bowler hat arrives.
Walter? Walter, I did it.
Really? What on earth are you doing in there?
I brought a bit back for you.
I see.
Andrew, I was wondering how much longer you thought you might be going to stay here.
Oh, I do appreciate your kindness, Walter, but I'm looking for a place in my new job. How are you going to manage on much less money? Do you use a Play-Doh boy?
I never saw any money anyway. It just went into the bank account at the end of each month. Then, occasionally, when I felt like being successful, I'd nip out and get some new toys. Cars, shirts, clothes.
Women?
It didn't seem like success to me.
So one day, you looked through your four-story Vitaglass window, saw a gypsy go by, and decided to follow him.
Look, I'm 32. If I don't go now, I never will.
So you're a well-dressed beatnik, halfway out of society, halfway in. You going to give up your toys?
Yes, a lot. No more extraneous attractions.
As the pin said to the magnet.
Walter smiles, then a 20-something woman's flat.
Jessie, I want to talk to you.
Are we going out?
No.
Are we going to eat?
No.
Well, what are we going to do then? Stay in?
No.
What do you mean, no?
Jessie.
If we're not going out and we're not staying in, what are we going to do then? I'm starving.
Jessie, it's all over.
Don't go away. I've got something to show you later.
I'm trying to talk to you. Josie? Josie?
I can't hear you.
Well, then come out here.
I can't. I'm stark naked.
A man in his 50s walks in.
Josie? Josie, I've given up my job. I don't want any entanglements with my old life, so I've cut myself loose.
You what?
George, what's going on?
Josie, I was deceiving you. I never intended marrying you. I just used to come round here so I could...
An embarrassed Andrew turns and nods hello at the man and a woman. The man nods back.
It's all over.
What did you say?
Look, turn off the taps, will you?
All right.
In the bath, she obliges. She then turns on the radio. The frustrated Andrew holds out his arms as he passes the couple.
Now, Josie, I...
It's my new costume in the show.
Oh, no. Why now?
Like it?
Come on. Come and say goodbye nicely.
I warn you, I'm going to be terribly hungry later.
She drops seductively out of view, seemingly onto her knees. Two men empty rubbish out of bins as Andrew's car pulls up behind them. He enters a building and goes up some stairs.
Nicholas. I thought I'd give you a lift into town.
Oh, well, I was just having my breakfast. Well, come in. Come in.
Carla, it's Andrew.
Hello, Carla.
Hello, Andrew. Would you like some coffee? I'll get you a cup.
Well, now, Andrew, you and I have quite a bit to talk about.
Yes.
Now, the point is, Andrew...
How do you like it, black or white?
White, please, then.
What on earth made you give up all that splendid success?
Because it wasn't all that splendid.
Oh, you did very well for yourself.
We were sorry to hear about you and Louise. Well, you know...
It's not that important. Oh, I like Louise, but...
And how's Susanna?
She's fine.
I keep telling Nicholas he ought to get himself a mistress. Well, it seems the only sensible way to live these days. If nothing else, at least it means the wife gets a rest from the teething of it all. But then you were always very sensible about the material things of life, weren't you, Andrew?
How did the last issue of the magazine go?
It sold quite well, really. Of course, one has a job nowadays to find the right type of contributor. I think what it really needs...
Some more coffee, Andrew.
I was talking, darling.
You must show Andrew those articles you did for that American magazine. He might be able to give you some information of a more practical kind.
Possibly, possibly. Did you say you'd like
some
more coffee?
No, it's all back to beginnings. Just like the simple, sunlit days when we were just down from university. And the magazine was a success.
Well, if we're finished, we may as well trot along to the office and talk it over quietly.
You're not trotting today, darling. You're going in Andrew's car.
Carla seems... well...
Oh, God, she's... Well, I think she gets a bit tired, you know, now and again. Having to climb all those stairs and things. I'm glad you're coming back to us, Andrew.
Yes, am I?
Well, we all make mistakes. Times when I wondered whether I shouldn't break into more rewarding commercial fields, but of course one decides against it. What does this do to the gallon?
Oh, about 14 in town, I think it is.
Nice. Expensive, was it?
They stop and get out. The bespectacled Nicholas goes to the parking meter.
Allow me?
Andrew eyes a pretty blonde woman inside the Gadfly magazine office. She looks over.
Right.
Nicholas pats Andrew on the back, now inside the office.
How does it feel to be back in the old place? Morning, Georgina.
She smiles.
Here we are, then. You'll find it hasn't changed much since your day. Same old place. The view a bit improved, perhaps.
A semi-naked woman outside.
Yeah, I thought we'd make a place for you over here. Yeah, we'll have to get you a desk and things, but it will make quite a nice little office. And of course it's very handy, as we'll see. For Georgina. Georgina's our invaluable right hand. And this is Mr. Andrew Quint, who's coming back to join us.
How did you do?
Hello.
Mr. Quint was before your time, I think, quite a few years. Now, when did you think of starting?
Any time you like.
How about tomorrow?
Fine.
You know those chairs in the magazine you said you wanted to take up? When could you let us have the check?
With a slight smirk, Andrew takes out a checkbook from his pocket. He is now driving his car in the countryside. He stops by an attractive woman, Susanna, who has parked her white sports car on the verge. They kiss and walk off together under a bridge, behind two horses and their riders. They walk along a disused railway track beside a small, old station building.
I can't be terribly long.
I've got a new job.
You haven't left Jonathan.
Yes.
He won't like that.
No.
He'll get his own back. He always does. What are you doing now?
I'm back where I started. The assistant editor of a small literary magazine.
Andrew, how terribly romantic. How's your wife?
Oh, she's fine. How's your husband?
He closes the door behind them. It has baggage written on it. She lights a cigarette.
You and your women.
I'm getting rid of you all.
Oh, darling.
You never believe anything that runs counter to the wishes of your incredible ego, do you?
And you love me?
And I love you.
So you say.
Susanna, I really have.
Of course, darling. Even Louise.
I already have done, haven't I?
Oh, Andrew. Going and living in another flat is not getting rid of her. Not if you're going to go round and...
Well, it's a start.
And then you'll take us all back?
Very unlikely.
Not even little me?
Especially little you.
I like especially. Do you know, I dreamt about this place last night. I dreamt elegant trains were coming in and out, picking up elegant people. And you and I were here all in our best. The trains came in and the trains went out. And every time a train went out, there we were, still standing there. Isn't that a sad dream?
I expect it means you and I aren't going anywhere. And probably don't want to.
I expect so. So what do we do now, go? Or do you want me to come back in there?
Andrew holds his arm out to her.
Oh, Andrew. Even if you do get rid of us all, you can always get some more. Everything is so extraordinarily available these days, isn't it?
Andrew opens her dress, revealing her white bra and a crucifix. He leans towards her, then is back in the magazine office.
Good
morning.
Morning.
He doesn't usually get in until about 10:30. Would you like me to make you some coffee?
Is that usual?
Sometimes, essential.
A plain man's guide to apprenticeship.
You weren't meant to see that.
He doesn't put that in the magazine, does he?
No, it's a sideline for money. They like a bit of culture. Of course, a lot of people only read them for the articles, you know. I quite like the pictures. The girls always look so happy. I suppose it's the money. Golly.
Georgina!
Andrew grabs the magazine.
Georgina!
Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Andrew. Oh. Well, it's a very pleasant office. Yes, not bad, is it? What am I to do in it?
What?
What am I to do in it? Oh, yes, well, what I'd like you to do, Andrew, is read these manuscripts for me. I mean, let me know if the writers have any potential, any editing that could be done. You remember the sort of thing?
Yes, sure.
Georgina sits at reception.
Hello, Georgina. You're looking lovely this morning. Where's the big white chief, hmm?
I'll just see if he's in.
Oh, out again, is it? Oh, that's a pretty thing, isn't that pretty?
Isn't it? And you can't have it. It's that pink from the printers.
I can't see him. Tell him I'm out. Get rid of him.
Georgina shrugs to Andrew.
No, I'm afraid he's not in.
I thought so. I'm very much afraid the time has come. Good Lord. Andrew Quince. McAfee, Charles. End of his house, Edgecombe Hall.
Good heavens, how are you?
What on earth are you doing here? I thought you were with Jonathan Luke's bright boys.
No, I left. Can I help you?
Well, it's a matter of the old account, old love. Matter of 300 quid. My directors are cutting up quite nasty about it.
There'll be a cheque in the post tonight.
Word of an old Edgecombean. Oh, by the way, it's the old boys' reunion day after tomorrow. Might see you there.
Well, I'm...
Oh, do try. Days of sweet innocence and all that. Farewell, lovely Georgina.
A cafe.
Did you read those manuscripts he gave you?
Yes, they weren't very good.
Did you look at the date on the back cover?
Yes.
That's when he rejected them, 2 years ago.
You seem to have some sort of a prejudice against Nicholas.
He lets things happen to him.
Well, he was a very good writer when we were up at university.
It's a long time since he was at university. And you.
Georgina tries on a yellow hat in a brightly coloured, busy clothes shop.
What made you come back to Nicholas?
I was trying to get away from the rat race.
Oh, I know. The old 20th century freedom syndrome.
Gad, what a frightfully intelligent gal she's turned out to be. What?
I don't believe in rat races. People say that's what they're in, just to make their lives sound more exciting.
Now wearing the hat, Andrew nods and grabs some feather boas.
Are you married?
Separated.
Children?
One.
Age?
Me or the child?
You.
32. Eyes? Blue.
I had noticed. Hey, you look super. How do I look?
Terrible, terrible, terrible. What a terrible dress.
Isn't it terrible? Quite terrible, terrible.
Do you like it? If you want another drink, you just have to grab it.
Before he grabs you.
Nicholas says you have two mistresses.
I did have.
What happened to them?
They all went with my past life.
Yes.
Don't you believe me?
I think you're the sort who's always going back to see where it all went wrong. And I think you'll go to that old school reunion.
Well, I'd like to see how they all turned out.
You know the kind of people that go to those things?
No.
They never left.
If I do go...
You'd be crazy.
Will you come with me?
Georgina continues dancing. Andrew eyes a pretty brunette and nods and smiles at her. Her boyfriend appears and walks her away. Andrew childishly shrugs.
Hey, why is it these days everybody except me seems to be 22? What happened 22 years ago tonight?
All the grown-ups went home to bed.
Now outside the nightclub, Andrew turns to see Georgina dancing with two men through a window. Andrew's wife Louise sits in an experimental-looking art gallery with projections playing and moving mechanical art. The word art appears on a screen. A red ball moves up and down in front of a striped background. Andrew arrives.
Hi. I'll give you a lift home. I want to collect my dinner jacket.
I don't know why you can't take all your clothes around to your place anyway.
Because there's no room at Walter's.
How is Walter?
Oh, I think he's getting a bit fed up with me.
I thought the idea was that you stay with Jonathan long enough to get enough money together for the thing and I to live on.
Well, there seems to be a continual war on want, doesn't there?
Provided we know what we want.
Ah, I know what I want.
Do you?
Everything.
On the street.
We didn't really work, did we?
Didn't we?
Well, not all the time.
Oh, well. Well, I suppose with all married couples who've been married for some time, I suppose you just got used to me.
And you me?
Maybe. I was 19 when I married you. It's all right for men to go back and try and find the things they think they've missed. But women can't ever go back to being 19 again, can they?
Daddy, Daddy!
Hello, Thing. How are you?
All right.
I'm all right, too.
Come on, Liza.
Louise lifts the youngster from his arms.
Do you need any food or anything?
No, I'll pick up some.
Andrew lifts a tin of beans in a supermarket. He passes two young women and turns for another look. He is at the till, then back at Walter's flat. He turns to look at a woman as she and her partner leave the building. Andrew then enters the flat and turns on the lights.
Walter? Hello, nobody! Hello, nobody!
A grand building is lit up at night. Men in tuxedos arrive. Andrew arrives in his car with Georgina.
Well, here we go.
Andrew lifts his smiling guest out of the car. A group of men turn and watch Andrew and Georgina, in a white dress, climb some stairs. They enter and Georgina bows her head in an embarrassed fashion. The room is full of only men. They turn in unison to look at the newcomers. Many of the men appear to be shocked.
What did I tell you? Never go back.
Yes. Who's the gorgeous Flan Filling?
Quaint him for being a dolly.
Come on. I happen to know her rather well.
Charles Maccabee stares at Georgina. Some of the other men turn for a look. Andrew stops a man with a drinks tray.
Mr. Watkins, isn't it?
Hampedown, actually.
Oh, that's right, Mr. Hampedown, Inkley House, 1951.
No, sir, I'm a waiter, actually, and I was at Eton.
Then why didn't he offer us a drink?
I'll get one.
Maccabee.
Georgina. Excuse me.
Hello, Georgina, now don't rush off. We're just going down to the chapel to look at the new window.
Andrew.
We'll show you the way. Come on.
Ah, waiter, could I have...
I'm not actually, I'm Bankman. Aren't you Williamson?
Who?
I thought I recognised you. Have a drink.
Thank you.
It's only the fact that the woodworm are holding hands that prevents the whole place falling down. Come on, Georgina.
Well, it's nice to have met you again after all this time, Williamson?
I'm Bankman. You're Williamson.
As a matter of fact, I used to teach you Latin.
Ah, Bagman, you remember Williamson?
Hello, Andrew.
Aldrich.
My God, it's the right school.
Pretty grim, isn't it? Mm. Never again.
No.
An older man welcomes in the former pupils.
Ah, Eldridge. Nice to see you.
Headmaster, how are you?
Never fitter. You don't look too well. You should get out and play some games, Eldridge.
Quint.
I beg your pardon.
Quint. Quint.
I don't think I know the game. Ah, Ratcliffe. Fellow here talking about an interesting game called Quint. You play it at all, Smith?
Eldridge, sir.
Ah.
Andrew spies Georgina.
Andrew Quint.
Yes.
We're neighbours. Your managing director aims his golf balls through my window. Hugh Dallafield, Dallafield Advertising.
Hello. Actually, I'm not with Jonathan anymore.
Yes, I heard you were taking a bit of a rest from him. Don't blame you. If you're thinking of not going back, we'd be interested.
Oh, thank you very much, but, well, at the moment I'm...
Any time.
Well, Georgina, what do you think of our...
My God, you two are aged!
Hamilton,
I'd be the most younger than I.
Andrew grabs Georgina.
Ah, Headmaster, I think you ought to know there's a man here masquerading as Williamson.
Really? Do you know, I've just been talking to two people who both alleged they were Eldridge. What can he mean, do you think? Could it be a gang?
The gym.
Do you still love your wife?
I like her.
Then why are you separated?
I'm an unsuitable candidate for matrimony.
Then what are you a suitable candidate for?
And I'm sure our hearts surge with joy when we hear of the achievements of such old boys as Levitt and Samson. Thompson and Ford. Yes. Yes. Well done. Well done. Thompson. Samson. Levitt.
Anything? Remember Eldridge?
Skinny little tick. Yes.
Apparently he's going around passing himself off as Williamson. How about that?
Get him outside. We'll have a bit of fun.
An old classroom.
Quint, well, when were you here then, sir?
Oh, about 14 years ago.
You see some changes. Not gentlemen nowadays, sir. No, not these days. Quint, didn't they chuck you in the lake?
Yes.
A duff game, that.
The old man in the flat cap walks off.
Now he calls me sir. Look, I'll show you something.
Was that your desk?
Yeah.
Scored into the desk the words, Maccabee is a twit.
You were a very perceptive little boy.
Maccabee speaks.
All right, Eldridge. What's it all about, then?
For all responsibility.
Bit of a poof, eh?
What?
Hoping to chat out the young boys and not get caught.
What the hell are you talking about?
We've got to protect the school's good name.
Look here, I'm going back into the room.
How's your mother, Eldridge? Still wearing those big ugly hats.
And I charge you to remember the lessons you learnt here at school. We are a team. We think as a team. We act as a team.
Eldridge breaks free. Maccabee speaks.
Get him.
Georgina and Andrew by the lake.
It's beautiful. Why did they throw you in?
One of those splendid character-building traditions. Well, they hunted me, but I hid under the jetty. Next day, I went round and ingratiated myself to Maccabee so I could join his gang. Next time they chased a boy, I was on their side. It didn't make any difference because they chucked me in the next week anyway and I got pneumonia.
Poor Andrew.
That was a long time ago.
And now, it only remains for me to thank you on behalf of myself and my wife.
He turns to look for his wife.
My late wife. For this magnificent retiring present. And so, let us all join in singing the school song.
Eldridge runs away from Maccabee and his gang.
They're hunting some chap.
Splendid. Let's go and give them a hand. Hey, catch!
The man throws a bottle outside. Eldridge slips on it, then keeps running. Back with Georgina and Andrew.
What is it? That noise?
It's a hunt.
Eldridge runs closer to the lake and falls into its muddy edge before running off. Numerous tuxedoed alumni give chase and some fall into the mud.
Come on, it's nothing to do with us. Come on.
Georgina takes Andrew's hand. Eldridge looks around to see people coming from various directions. He trips backwards into the water. Maccabee and some others chase him across the lake.
Get over there.
Andrew moves Georgina away and walks towards Eldridge.
Andrew! What is it? Why?
He lifts him out of the water.
We are coming to get you!
Andrew kicks one in the head.
Hello, Georgina!
For God's sake! What's it all about?
Andrew pushes Eldridge out of harm's way.
Get out of it, Quint.
I thought it was Williamson.
Get them out of here, Maccabee. I remember you. You're just having a bit of sport. Aren't you interested in...
Andrew punches Maccabee and throws him into the lake. Some of the men grab Andrew, but he manages to kick two of them into the water.
You.
No. Me first.
They hold Andrew and Maccabee strikes him repeatedly. A flashback of Andrew as a schoolboy. He holds topless woman's photograph.
Why does she look like that? They're almost always drugged, you know. They have to be to do it. Don't you know anything, Andrew? Oh, let's have another look.
It'll cost you another sixpence.
Oh, come on,
Maccabee. That's enough.
All right, come on.
That'll teach the little creep.
The bruised Andrew drops to the ground.
Well, I think I can do with a drink after all. What do you think?
No, we haven't gone too far.
Go on, anyway, go on. I'll buy you all a drink. Come on, this way. Okay?
Georgina runs to check on him. A bizarre montage begins. The young Andrew is watching the headmaster playing a drum on a stage, flanked by two female dancers at what appears to be a circus.
They almost do his drug. They don't want to do it. He makes them.
Andrew is carried to his car. The montage begins again.
Does he keep you drugged?
Oh, yes. All of the time.
I've come to rescue you, and I do love you, Sandra.
And who the hell, might I ask, are you?
Would you like to see my caravan?
Georgina smiles as Andrew's eyes close. Back to the montage with a young Andrew and a young girl.
Hello. Hello.
What are you doing?
I'm putting the cricket things away.
I've seen you play cricket.
Have you?
Do you want to kiss me?
All right.
What's the matter?
They kiss. Eerie eyes watch them through cracks. The montage continues. It features Maccabee, the young girl, Susanna, Josie, the two dancers, and finally Louise and their daughter.
They're almost always drugged, you know. They have to be to do it. Don't you know anything, Andrew?
My dentist says I have a perfect bite.
Jonathan Lutz speaks.
Hello, dear boy. Can I give you a lift?
Andrew wakes up to Georgina.
I didn't know where you lived, so I brought you here.
Is this your room?
At the moment.
Why is it moving? Is it moving?
A little. It's a houseboat.
I thought they'd done me a permanent injury.
They did their best. Do you want some coffee?
Oh, no, thanks. A couple of aspirin, if you have them, please.
He looks outside.
It is a boat.
I keep telling you things.
Tell me, did you take my clothes off?
No, I hired a couple of passing Chinese undertakers.
What's that? A sea chest?
My worldly goods. Things I brought from home when my parents finally split up. Perhaps one day I'll find a place where I'll feel like unpacking them.
Andrei pulls Georgina towards him and they kiss.
I'm not going to sleep with you, Andrew.
Not ever.
Let's deal with one question at a time.
She reaches for her nightie and begins to undress.
Do you want me to look away?
No. Why?
Tell me something. Do you usually lend your bed to itinerant men?
No.
He watches her undress.
Do you mind if I put the light out?
No.
Actually, I do have a sort of fiancé.
Do you love him?
Are you warm enough?
Oh, yes, thank you.
He continues watching.
Good night.
Good night.
Andrew smiles. Georgina sits.
The trouble is, I can't bear him touching me.
Andrew begins to dream. His younger self in school uniform knocks on the door of a room. An older man wearing a clerical collar is up a ladder tending to some books.
Come in, boy. Very distressing, Andrew, to hear this from your housemaster. Very distressing. You are not, it appears, interested in games. He tells me, in fact, that you make every excuse to avoid them. Games are the essence of life, Andrew. And the value of team games is that they teach us to live together.
How to work and struggle together. How to win. Sit down, boy. Andrew, the man who is not interested in sport is not interested in living with other people. And what do you say to that?
Lie, sir.
You're a nasty little boy, Andrew, aren't you? Well, let me tell you that a man who is not interested in living with other people will find he is on his own. On his own, Andrew. And what do you think God will say to that, eh? He will ask, does this man love other people? Or does he love only himself? That's what he'll ask, Andrew. Do you love only yourself? Or are you in fact capable of loving other people? Ask yourself that, Andrew. Ask yourself that.
Georgina?
How are you feeling, dear boy? What's the going price on integrity this week?
Looks like it could use a bit of defending.
How did you know I was here?
Charming lady told me when I phoned your office. She said you were sick. I brought you some grapes.
She needn't have bothered.
Andrew, what are you doing on this cruffy little barge? Are you so determined to be ordinary that you're becoming invisible?
Oh, Jonathan, for God's sake.
Of course. I think you were very wise to leave your wife. I mean, women are always so surprised when men leave them. What happens? She's out with other men, isn't she? Wants some breakfast. One should never imagine that because a woman tells you she loves you, she isn't busy thinking of awful things she could be doing to other men, don't you agree? Andrew, you're adult enough to realize that there's probably another man using your wash basin at this very... Sorry, just thinking aloud.
How would you like a punch on the nose?
How would you like some barley flakes? A great many people think you're a fool for having left me.
And there are a great many others who think I'm a fool for staying with you as long as I did.
Oh, there are always other people, baby boy. The thing to do is to avoid them. Do people really start the day on this stuff?
So your advertising company tells them? Remember, I did a good film on it once.
I thought I was supposed to make humorous little noises at us. Something's definitely off.
Jonathan, what the hell do you want?
Well, I'm going to have to put the names down of people we're entering for the festival.
Forget it.
I'm putting yours down. The team's never been the same without you.
I'm not doing it, Jonathan.
You pick your own subject. Any subject. Where are you going?
To my honest job.
Honest job.
The portly Jonathan shovels a spoonful of barley flakes into his mouth before spitting them out.
My God.
Andrew arrives at work.
Oh, I didn't think you'd bother. How are you feeling?
I'm fine. Where's Nicholas?
He's not back from lunch yet. He went down the pub to see a contributor or two. Someone called Susanna phoned. She left a message. Would you meet her tonight?
Is she one of your ladies?
One of my ex-ladies.
What did you say?
You know, we're going to have to change the image of the magazine, Nicholas.
I don't really expect you to understand, Andrew, but
images are for the world of advertising. Literature doesn't have images.
All right, then change your contributors. I mean, you can sell a magazine in exactly the same way as you can sell anything else.
How'd you like to go down to Cambridge for the day?
What?
Oh, to Cambridge. You see Gerald Sater? He doesn't seem too keen to write for us these days.
All right.
Yeah, take Georgina. She's not much to do at the moment. She can have a day off.
Will you let him know we're coming?
What? Oh, God. Isn't it absolutely terrifying around here at this time of the day?
Andrew sticks a coin into a laundrette's washing machine. He reads an old lady's magazine over her shoulder, much to her annoyance. Georgina approaches.
Do you come here often?
Why aren't you with your ex-lady?
So why aren't you with the jet set?
Is this what you mean by the simple life? Watching the washing go round?
You know, this represents 10,000 years of man's progress. And it's going wrong.
Why didn't you find a desert island somewhere?
There aren't any. They're all radioactive.
Are you going to stay with Nicholas?
Yes, of course. Why?
You're such a romantic, aren't you? You've made the gesture that other people dream about. And look where you've ended up.
Hey, will you stop picking on me? I'm smaller than you.
Well, I can't see why it's better than directing a good advertising film. At least
can't you...
At least they pay you enough.
You must stop wanting the same things as my wife.
I'm sorry. Nicholas says we're going to see Gerald Sater tomorrow.
What are you doing tonight?
I have to do the ironing.
Will you do my ironing?
Why don't you ask Susanna to do it?
All right. Let's go and eat somewhere.
I've already eaten. You must have lots of other friends.
They've all made their husbands dinner for two.
There's nothing like other people's freedom for intruding on other people's lives, is there?
Bubbles pour out of Andrew's machine.
Look at it.
Never mind. They've got another 10,000 years to put it right.
You're not going to leave me here with this thing, are you?
Imagine it's the desert island. The sound of surf.
I'll see you tomorrow. What are you going to do tonight?
What do you think I'm going to do? Go home with a glass of milk, a loaf of sliced bread, and the telly singing beside me in the wilderness.
Yes.
Yes.
He punches the machine. Susanna speaks.
You look cross. Isn't the simple life as simple as you expected?
Oh, so urgent.
Oh, did you take me out to dinner?
Oh, God.
Oh, Johnny, you are rotten. I knew you were only after my body.
Susanna, can you get a meal on the floor, please?
Okay. Don't go away.
Jonathan speaks.
Hello, Andrew. Glad you came to see her. She'd have been disappointed.
Was it your idea?
She, wants you, you know. Probably a million men who see her on their screens and say to themselves, that's what I want. She wants you. And she goes with the job, dear boy.
It's very nice, all these lilies and things.
Oh, the world's full of beauty, Andrew. Sometimes on rainy days, I look out of my office at wet girls and their Macintoshes.
Okay, we'll try a take, darling.
Okay.
She still attracts you?
Only when I see her.
That's the trouble, isn't it? It's all right as long as you don't see him.
As you swim towards us, Susanna, say something cheerful. It doesn't matter what, there's commentary over.
Right.
Seven, take one. Action.
Have you heard the sad story of Andrew Quint, who gave up everything? And
tell her to shut up, Jonathan.
And darling, she's a big girl now, as well you know.
The sad, sad story of Andrew Quint, who never quite gave up anything, but always kept a way out.
Will you shut up, Susanna?
Who left his wife and kept going back. Who ended his marriage and couldn't divorce her. Poor old Andrew Quint, the man who never quite got what he wanted.
you!
Oh, God,
Barry.
I've been here all night.
Oh, my God. Mind the bloody flamingos.
Norman, get him some brandy, will you? I'd rather he didn't die on me.
Louise! Louise!
Andrew turns to see a mini car arrive.
Mr. Quint!
Louise!
The woman throws Andrew some keys. Carrying his bottle of brandy, the disheveled Quint stumbles into the building. Louise is asleep.
Shh. Louise? I want to talk to you.
Shh. Wake up, Thing.
Louise. I want to talk to you about this divorce thing seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Are you awake?
Mm.
He climbs into bed beside her.
Mm. Andrew, you're so cold.
Yes, I know. I tried to jump into a swimming pool and drown Susanna. Mm. She said I wouldn't come to a decision.
She's after your body.
Mm.
Are you drunk?
No, you.
Two gins.
Didn't anybody take you out tonight?
I just had two gins and watched the television.
Didn't you eat?
Oh, Andrew, I'm so cold.
Darling, we must come to a decision. Louise, do you or don't you?
Oh, yes, I do. But
what a divorce.
They kiss.
No, not tonight.
Louise, you will condone...
Rows of sepia-toned photographs sit on a desk. Walter speaks to Andrew.
I thought you'd given up your ladies.
I stay with friends.
Perhaps, as St. Paul said, it's better to be married than burned.
You're cleaner, right?
Walter taps on a table.
It's nothing to do with me. It had your name on it.
Well, where the hell did it come from?
They bring it.
Hey, Quint, 51 Cornwall Gardens.
Yes, it's me.
High fidelity, 21-inch screen, stereophonic, 18 transistor.
You'll make a hell of a dent in the carpet.
Where do you want it?
He wants to know who sent it.
I know who sent it. Jonathan Lewis.
Harrods.
Georgina climbs into Andrew's car.
Hello.
Hello.
He spots the Mini behind them.
Something wrong?
No, fine.
So today, it's back to your golden age. I've never been to Cambridge.
Aerial views of the city's architecture as the pair arrive. They share a smile. They park. The man from the Black Mini exits his car too. He follows the pair walking through a graduation ceremony. They take in the sights, unbeknownst to the fact that they are being followed. They pass a team of rowers. Andrew mimics their movements, making Georgina laugh. Andre then explains a ceremony featuring some old Cambridge alumni before they go punting on the river. The man following them walks along the river's edge. The pair are still blissfully unaware. Pass under a bridge. Now back on dry land, they walk into a building.
Here, on the right.
Andrew Quint, isn't it?
Yes.
How very accommodating of you to come all this way to see me.
Oh, this is Miss Elman. She works in the
office. How very delightful. Come in. How vain you make me feel, coming from the city like this.
Good heavens, how marvellous.
Do you like them?
Do they all work?
Well, of course they work. Now, you may operate them whilst Mr. Quint and I have our little chat.
Nicholas and I wondered whether...
Press a little harder on that one. The ratchet's warm. So sorry.
Oh, Nicholas was a little worried that you were... You may be thinking of not writing for us anymore.
Ah, yes. Poor old Nicholas. Can I offer you one of these?
No, thank you.
Do sit down. You know what I always say about poor old Nicholas, don't you? He's a one-ulcer man in a two-ulcer job. that one is rather saucy. But rather amusing.
It doesn't seem to be working either.
Oh, let me show you. Be gentle with it. Slightly.
Gerald looms over Georgina.
You have to be rather firm with this one.
Oh, dear.
It is too rather fun, isn't it?
Georgina looks frightened by what she's seen.
You like that sort of thing?
She shakes her head. Gerald eats some celery.
It's a long time since your magazine carried any weight. Prestige-wise or any otherwise. Take my advice and get out before it buries you. You'll never find success there. What's Nicholas offering?
50 guineas. And I'm not trying to be a success. I'm trying to succeed.
What a very pretty girl that is. Then counterpay me 60.
Will he up it? Well, I don't know. It's already more than we pay anybody else.
Well, there's no more to be said then, is there?
All right, then, 70. Guinea. 3 articles at 70 each. Oh, and we'll need the first by Thursday week.
I'm very prompt, my dear fellow.
Gerald drinks some wine. Georgina pulls on a lever and prints a thin metal label with some words on it. She is now walking outside with Andrew.
Did you see those films he had in those machines? They were absolutely disgusting. What are we doing now?
I'll take you home. Look, do you mind going on to the car? I want to ask Seda something.
No.
Andrew watches as Georgina passes the suited man who has been following them. He then turns and makes a run for it. The man gives chase. Andrew runs up some stairs and into a building. The man follows him. Andrew hides just inside the door of what appears to be a library. The man enters. Andrew grabs him around the waist. He is pushed backwards and knocks a ceramic bust onto the floor, causing it to smash.
Why are you following me?
Why do you think I'm following you? I'm a private detective.
They pick up the pieces.
Oh, my name's Calloway.
How'd you do?
Andy.
Who's paying you?
Obviously, I can't.
It's Jonathan Lute, isn't it?
Look, I'm sorry, sir. Come on, somebody be around with me.
Well, don't worry. I'll have a word with him when I get back to London.
I shouldn't go bothering him, sir. Whoever he is.
Well, that only leaves sir. My wife. My wife's divorcing me.
Andrew and Georgina walk together on a bridge. She turns to see the private detective.
Who is he?
He's a detective my wife put on me for her divorce.
I see. Do you want a divorce?
I wonder why she suddenly decided to do that.
Well, you had left her, hadn't you?
It's not as if I was still going out with Susanna or Josie.
I can't remember which is Susanna and which is Josie.
It's ridiculous.
Andrew.
I mean the unthinkingness of women.
Andrew.
Women make halfway decisions and suddenly jump into them with their eyes closed.
Andrew.
Divorce is a thing that you've got...
I don't think I'm terribly interested. I don't want to hear about your wife and how terribly fond of her you are and all your other women and how difficult it all is. Don't want to hear. And now you've dragged me into it. Now there's a detective scribbling down every time I talk to you and everywhere I go with you. Even if it's just for a sandwich or something. Oh, Andrew, don't you ever think of anything else but you.
Look,
for God's sake, shut up!
She walks away from him. The detective appears behind Andrew.
What can they do? They're in love with you, but they don't know what's going to happen to them, do they? I don't know, you bloody married men.
Andrew appears to roll his eyes. A group of girls at a netball match at night. Andrew and Georgina are in his car.
You needn't take me all the way home. Drop me here.
He stops the car.
All right, I'll try and explain.
In my bag.
He throws away his cigarettes, then finds the metal strip Georgina had printed. Andrew then reads it.
G. Elvin loves Andrew Quint. True?
Can I have it back, please?
He hands it to her.
I did it for a joke.
She exits the grey sports car and walks towards the netball game. Andrew watches her leave, then follows her.
Were you hoping I'd go to bed with you?
Yes.
All right.
Why?
What do you mean, why, if a girl offers?
Why?
Good heavens. There must be 10,000 girls in this city at this very minute who've decided about some man that they hardly know. All right, I'll go to bed with him. It might be fun. I've decided it might be fun. So unusual about that?
Because I think it's unusual for you.
Oh, I don't think I'm very good at the sex bit. I'm very good for taking to parties or for taking out to dinner, but I don't suppose you'll believe it, but I've never... Trouble is, it frightens me.
Georgina spots the detective.
Is he going to be about all the time? Why don't you invite me away for the weekend? Other men have.
All right.
When?
How about next weekend?
I'm really not very clever at it.
Georgina. Why me?
G. Elban loves Andrew Quint. True.
She smiles. Daytime. Andrew is outside Nicholas's office.
Hello, Carla. Whose car?
Mine. Or rather, Nicholas's and mine.
What happened? Did it come into a legacy?
Something like that.
Carla walks off. Andrew follows. Nicholas shuts his window.
He's come for a drive one afternoon.
Yes, sometimes.
We used to have rather nice afternoons, if I remember.
When we were at university.
It's a long time ago. I was up at university. And you?
I see. We're all a little older now, aren't we? Especially me. Has Nicholas told you?
Tell me what?
Nicholas! Andrew's here.
Oh, hello. Did you have a good trip?
Quite a good trip, thank you.
Well, come inside and we can have a chat.
While I go shopping.
Carla smiles.
How did you get on with Theta?
I had to offer him more money.
Good, good.
Nicholas, what's the matter?
Well, now, Andrew, it's been on the cards for some time now. I've had approaches made to me before you joined us, and yesterday, when you were in Cambridge, we had a meeting, and I decided to accept this offer.
Accept what? What offer?
I've sold out my shares. In fact, the whole magazine.
Andrew frowns.
Sold?
Carl and I discussed it.
Carl and you discussed it?
After all, I do own 60%.
Have you signed anything?
Well, yes, I have. Carla thought.
Carla, what the hell's Carla got to do with
it? Very difficult, Andrew. Women expect so much nowadays. Things.
Is that why you sent me down to Cambridge?
No, of course not. I'd hoped we wouldn't have to do it, but when there wasn't enough money, even with yours.
You mean you booze it all away at the pub lunchtimes?
Andrew, you've got no right! Who was it got out? Well, I won't stir that controversy. Who got out and got the good job? I stayed. Well, it's my turn to get something out of it now.
Who are these people?
Action House Publishing. They've been renting the flat upstairs for some time.
Oh, they're here already, are they? Well, I'm going to go and see them.
Nicholas looks shocked.
Andrew! Andrew, I'm terribly sorry, Andrew.
He heads upstairs and rings the bell. He then enters a bizarrely decorated room.
I want to see the...
A young Asian man stands at the door, a nude painting on the wall and a statue of a man holding a stick. In the next room, an Oriental woman picks a hair from Jonathan Lute's chest.
Hello, dear boy. I knew you'd be up sooner or later. This is a subsidiary company. You'd be amazed how many large concerns are controlled in the city by how few. May I offer you a little something? Tea? Coffee?
The young boy plays Sky Electrics.
You didn't do all this just to get me back, did you?
Oh, of course not. We wanted the building. It's all coming down. Eventually.
Jonathan drops a checkered flag and plays the racing game with the young boy and the girl.
What did you...
Jonathan presses hard on his button, causing a car to fall off the track.
I always seem to win. It's my nature.
I hate to interrupt you.
My darling Beamish boy, you know you're included in all my dreams.
Well, what exactly is going to happen to the magazine?
Andrew, baby, who needs your magazine? In the 20th century, the main product of all human endeavour is waste.
He empties an ashtray into a bin.
Waste.
He empties a bottle of champagne into the bin.
100 million tons of it. A whole new industry has grown up just to dispose of it. Millions of new sewage farms and rubbish pits and all for waste for poetry that's no longer read and paintings that are no longer looked at and the outer wrappings of processed cheese. In 2 centuries, dear boy, for every 5 people, there will be 1 square yard of ground, and all of them standing on a great mountain of garbage. It's up to you and me to see that we're standing on it and not under it.
I'm not going to be here in 200 years' time.
Well,
what about now?
In a way, you're still working for me, aren't you?
Andrew storms out.
Oh, Andrew. You're always breaking things.
Andrew returns to the office.
Leave that computer. Excuse me. Carla, you cow.
Go away, you clever man.
He speeds off, then the coffee shop.
And after all that, it seems I'm still working for him. And now you.
I'm not working for him. I can just leave. So can you.
No, you can't leave. Not unless they want you to.
What are you going to do then?
Make a bloody commercial that tells the truth. See if he gets an award for that.
It's silly.
Yes, it is. But at least he won't have me back.
And how long will it take?
5 days.
Not next weekend then.
The weekend after?
Yes.
Look, all we had to do is to collect the money and get the tickets. We needn't even be here.
Not even for your divorce.
Why didn't you tell me that you put a detective onto me?
It was the solicitor's idea.
Oh, you've been to a solicitor as well, have you?
I just went to have a talk with him, and he said if there was any chance of a divorce, I'd be well advised to...
Oh, it was easier to talk to a solicitor about it than it was me, was it?
Well, yes, it was. At least he was prepared to discuss it with me.
Are you divorcing your bloody solicitor? And you weren't so keen to discuss it the other night either.
I was a little drunk. Anyway, I've taken the detective off now. He says he's got enough.
Good. Are you pregnant?
I don't know yet.
Well, that's another complication, isn't it? I mean, what are we going to do about Thing?
Oh, Andrew. Is there or isn't there going to be a divorce? Because if there is, excuse me.
Who are you having dinner with?
Why is it that whenever it comes to the point, you have to...
Oh, I don't care.
Michael!
I don't care! I sometimes used to get the feeling that what you wanted me for was to provide you with a regular income.
Andrew, I don't know how you could say that. You never used to come home night after night, all as you were working or something.
Here we are, and we've got a few little friends for glasses of refreshing milk.
Hello.
Hello, Daddy.
Boss.
Super.
Who's Georgina?
She works in the office.
My detective says she seems very nice.
Boss!
Yes, lovely. Lovely.
Are you in love with her?
No, of course I'm not. I'm very fond of her.
Mr. Quint, would you like a cold, refreshing glass of milk?
No, thank you.
I shouldn't imagine she wants you to be very fond of her. I should imagine she wants you to love her. You must stop it, Andrew.
Oh, girl. My wife understands me. That's probably been the trouble all along. Look, do you want a divorce?
No. Do you?
Michael arrives.
Bang, bang.
I won't be a minute now.
Hello, Andrew. How are you?
I'm taking my wife out to lunch, if you don't mind.
Very well, sir.
I would if she were mine.
Oh, well said. That may possibly prove that you're a better man than I am, Grandin. Hmm. Yes, I know. Pass.
Try.
Andrew!
Say goodbye, Philippa's daddy.
Goodbye, Philippa's daddy!
What did you do? Send round an all departments memo that I was coming back?
Andrew, my love, nobody really believed you'd ever gone. I'd like to meet Lewis. Lewis Forrest.
Hello.
Yeah. I'd like you to take him along with you on the job. He's very anxious to work with the best people.
Splendid.
And now shall we discuss the storyboard?
No, Jonathan, you just sign the checks.
I think you saved your boy.
Andrew and crew outside a house.
Josie!
Go away! I'm busy. I don't want to see you.
Oh, Mr. Quint. Mrs. Quint is out.
We'll wait.
Andrew and the film crew enter Louise's flat. Then Jonathan and Andrew are in a Rolls Royce.
Is one permitted to ask?
No.
Andrew leaves the car and rushes into a graveyard. Jonathan follows.
What exactly are we looking for?
Book Susanna for the day next Monday, will you?
At night, Andrew tosses his jacket over his shoulder and enters Georgina's houseboat. In dungarees, she is painting a wooden stand.
Hello.
Hello. How's it going?
Fine, if you like that sort of thing. How's that going?
Terrible. Things keep coming out of the brush.
It's a full life.
Have you nearly finished it?
About 5 more days.
5 days?
Yes, 5 days.
She looks deflated.
Oh, I'm sorry. Everything takes longer than you think, doesn't it?
He kisses her hand. She walks away.
So we'd better make it the weekend after the weekend after, then.
My wife's going through with the divorce.
She's going through with it?
Georgina, let me try and explain.
No, thank you. I don't like explanations. And I certainly don't like explanations I don't want to hear.
Well, what do you do then?
I play it by ear.
No, come off it. You don't even play it at all.
Did you want a row? Did you come round here to have a row so that you could walk out and keep your conscience intact?
No.
Well, you can have a row.
No, I came round here because I wanted to see you.
Andrew, do you come round here to see me because you've nowhere else to go?
Very likely.
She throws her paintbrush at him. He ducks. She then punches him repeatedly.
Stop it, Andrew, please. Stop
hitting me with those nasty painted hands.
He kisses the tearful Georgina.
What you've made me do to the wall.
Keep your eyes to the wall. And if you see any heads being beaten against it, stop and speak to me.
He gently lifts her dungaree strap down from her shoulder. She is crying. They kiss passionately. Lying on the bed together, Andrew puts his hand up her yellow t-shirt, fondling her breast. Andrew ducks down, disappearing out of sight. Georgina then writhes in ecstasy. She accidentally knocks over the tin of white paint. White paint is being applied to some wooden flooring on the set of Andrew's commercial. Andrew sits in a director's chair. They are filming at the old railway station. A couple of people stand on the platform in Victorian costumes. Andrew spies Lewis chatting to Susanna.
You can't have them all, dear boy, not forever. Anyway, it's bad for the health.
Lute puts a coin in a weighing machine. It reads just over 13 stone.
Has she told you?
What? She's going abroad. To live in America, I believe. Still, that's nothing to do with you now, is it?
No, she hasn't told me.
You are 26 stone, 3 pounds.
Liar.
You are 30 stone, 7 pounds. You are 30 stone, 7 pounds.
Well, William will have to be there about 4 years, so obviously I will too. We discussed it, should we go, shouldn't we? Then I thought, well, it's something new, isn't it? And he's obviously looking forward to it. Oh, dear, though. Where are we going to find all those wonderful afternoons now?
Susanna looks glumly around the building. Andrew walks away, then stops.
Can you keep that up? Until I get the camera?
Nicholas's office.
Hello, Georgina.
Hello.
What are you doing?
Waiting for Andrew.
Oh, God, Georgina. There's no room in this world for art and literature.
You sold it, Nicholas. Whatever room there was, you sold it.
Come and have a drink, Georgina. I need somebody to talk to.
What about Carla?
What Carla? He's not coming.
Film reels speed along in an editing room.
Is it any good?
Search me.
All right, Jonathan, out. Whatever you say, dear boy. Around here, you're God.
Andrew uses the phone.
Georgina? Look, darling, I've run into a spot of trouble. I don't think I'll be able to make it tonight.
I see. Yes.
I didn't want to sell it. She wanted to sell it. Things. She wanted things. Car. She wanted sports car. Washing machine. I'm a woman of her age wanting a sports car. Frank!
No, thank you, Nicholas. I
Come
don't want
on.
Any more, really.
He kisses her hand.
You know, Georgina, I've always liked you. Always thought of you as a very attractive girl.
She looks away. Back in the edit, Andrew rips some film.
Oh, there's another take.
Well, let's see it.
Back in the pub.
Do you know what that tycoon said to me today? I'm very sorry, dear boy, but we've been going through the financial side and the magazine no longer seems to be a viable proposition.
Georgina looks away.
No, Nicholas, I'm going home now.
Oh, Georgina. I'll drive you home.
At least it's supposed to look like dawn. We'll have to shoot it again now.
Leon and the boy standing
by.
Yes, sir.
Hello, production department. This is Lewis Force.
Nicholas drives his car at speed.
Well, there's damn all money left. I thought there'd be plenty. By the time you pay for the car, debts, things for the flat, there's no money left at all.
Oh, let me drive, Nicholas, please.
Lewis hands Andrew a hip flask.
I brought you some brandy, sir. It'll be cold by the sea.
Back with Nicholas.
What are you going to do?
Go away.
You know he's married.
Yes.
Well, lucky old you two. Where are you going?
I don't know. I hope it's somewhere where the sun shines and the sea's warm.
Nicholas drives through a stop sign and a car crashes into the side of them. They then crash into a wall. The windscreen smashes and the unconscious Georgina's face is covered in blood. Nicholas climbs out. Nicholas turns to see the car burst into flames with Georgina inside.
Georgina! Georgina!
Nicholas stumbles off, narrowly avoiding the oncoming police bikes and cars. Elsewhere, waves crash against a large white rock near the coastline. Andrew watches as his crew film on the beach.
Come on, let's go home.
Andrew gets into a van. Early morning, they are now in London. Andrew gets out and walks towards Georgina's boat. He blows into his hands for warmth, then climbs aboard the boat.
Georgina?
Andrew sees a nervous Nicholas sitting on the sofa inside.
What the hell are you doing here?
Georgina?
Nicholas bows his head.
Where's Georgina?
Andrew, I...
What the hell happened to you?
Well, I took her for a drink, you see. In the car.
Nicholas, what happened?
It was this terrible. It was absolutely terrible. She's dead, Georgina.
Don't be so bloody stupid.
This car came shooting across her. See a thing at those crossroads. I haven't seen Carla yet. The car's completely wrecked.
Nicholas, get out.
I don't know what to say. I'm terribly sorry.
Get out.
I may go to prison, Andrew.
Andrew punches him in the face. Nicholas falls, landing on Georgina's sea chest, breaking it open.
Come on, Nicholas, please.
Nicholas accidentally stands on a photo frame, breaking it. Nicholas turns to look at Andrew, then leaves. Andrew kneels down and picks up the strip of metal that Georgina had printed. Andrew then starts crying. Andrew rushes to the front of the boat and is sick over the edge. Nighttime, the 16th Festival of Creative Advertising, a gold award in a glass case. Jonathan Lute and a grey-haired lady are swarmed by photographers as they exit a car.
David,
yes, sir.
It seems she wants some chocolates.
Louis,
yes, sir.
Excuse me, please.
Fine, Demi's obviously somewhere. I want to see her and at the bar.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me. At the bar, day. Now, where on earth is yours, if you don't mind my asking?
I haven't seen him for a week.
Well, nor has anybody, dear.
I thought he was still working for you.
Don't say it like that.
Actually, Jonathan, I just assumed he was working in an abattoir in Croydon.
Ah, Sir John and Lady Mickleberger.
Two large pattern screens pull back on a stage.
My lords, ladies and gentlemen, this evening the 16th Festival of Creative Advertising presents the 24 entries for the Creative Advertising Award of the Year. The first entry is from the Lute Organization. It is produced by Jonathan Lute and directed by Andrew Quint.
Nice of you to spare the time. I wanted to see if you were a good loser.
A mischievous look adorns Lute's face. Andrew's Hamayasha commercial begins. Various scantily clad women hold their cameras on the coast.
Get closer to the Hamayasha Super 8. It's your kind of camera. Easy to handle on your kind of holiday. Capture the beauty that is your life. Let the Hamayasha Super 8 capture your loved ones.
Get out of here, you fucking bastard!
Go away, please.
Capture those golden days with the family.
Go away! I don't want you back! You and your egotistical freedom! What about my life? My freedom just to live quietly. Go away!
Capture even those days when nothing seemed to go right.
A white train heads towards the waiting Susanna and Andrew on the platform. Susanna is then tied to the tracks as Andrew rides on the train. Blood appears in Susanna's mouth as she is crushed by the train. Andrew looks back. He is then on the platform. Susanna leans out of the arriving train. This is then repeated numerous times. Three women hold their cameras in a church.
We have built the Hamayasha with care and love to capture the memories that you treasure.
And I charge you to remember every day. Try to tell your loved one that you love her. And if you can't tell your loved one, tell your wife.
Andrew sits in a cremation service.
The Hamayasha Super 8 preserves forever those you have known.
Nicholas's car crash. The car explodes. Then the coffin is burnt.
Capture those memories of childhood that mean so much.
The man who is not interested in working in a team is not interested in living with other people. And what will God say to that, eh?
In the 20th century, the main product of all human endeavors, waste. Waste.
Gosh, everywhere you look, it's history.
A wrecking ball strikes a building.
Capture the carefree, once-only youth of your child.
All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all.
The present is all you know you have. Capture it with the Hamayasha Super 8. It puts you in with the professionals. Shoot what you see. With the things no other camera can give. Automatic exposure. Power zoom. Electronic control. All you have to do is press the button. Shoot what you see. And you will never be able to forget.
Andrew closes the doors of a crushing machine filled with the video cameras at a dump. Back in the viewing theatre, the audience gives a standing ovation.
I like you, Andrew.
They think you're a clever boy.
Andrew shakes his head and storms off. Then Jonathan poses for photographs holding the gold award statue.
Thank you, Mr. Luke. Thank you.
Many congratulations, Jonathan. It's not for me, Hugh. It's for the whole industry. Don't you think?
Jonathan walks off, leaving Hugh Dallafield looking longingly at the statue. Outside, some men and women are frolicking in the pool. People throw food into the water. An unimpressed Lut walks inside and is listening to two young women talking excitedly in his ear.
Why, you little pigs.
Louise and Michael.
At least Jonathan enjoys his parties.
No, here's Andrew.
Louis Force whispers in Lut's ear as Andrew arrives.
The award.
It's a bit of an awkward shape, Jonathan, but do try and put it where it belongs. Do try.
Andrew, dear, don't bite the hand that might cut your throat.
Susanna.
Andrew, darling, it was super. You haven't met my husband, William. Andrew.
Hello. Hi there. I did enjoy your, you know.
Thank you. Excuse me.
We're leaving tomorrow.
Bye.
Susanna looks upset. A disheveled man dressed as a clown walks past Louise and Michael.
Do you want to go?
You?
Michael! Hello, Michael.
Hello, Charles.
I was just going to ask your lovely lady for a dance.
Oh, we were just going.
Oh, not just yet, surely.
Louise takes Maccabee's hand. Michael seems annoyed as the pair start dancing. Andrew is with Hugh Dallafield.
Well, congratulations. I thought it was very good.
Yes, that's the mistake most people have made, Mr. Dallafield.
Andrew Quince, why?
Now this, I commissioned because I thought my image needed dignity.
Oh, dear.
Exactly. I give artists money these days and all they do is spend it.
Andrew walks past the dancing Maccabee and Louise and speaks to Michael.
Is she with him or you? If I had to be detached about it, I'd say she was on her own.
Oh, that's very amusing.
I think I'd prefer it if you didn't dance with my wife.
Say something, old chap.
I said I'd rather you didn't dance with my wife.
Really?
Do you mind?
And
your wife. Having killed off the other one, you're coming home to roost, are you?
Laughing, Andrew puts his hand on Maccabee's shoulder before punching him and sending him into a table. The bloody-nosed Maccabee then stands.
That's the way you want it, old sport.
He strikes Andrew in the chest. Andrew then punches him back. Louise shouts.
Andrew, for God's sake, stop it! Lovely.
Yeah. It's one of the 32 known Vermeers, 80 of which are in America. See what you can do about getting it stopped, would you?
What's he doing?
Making a fool of himself, dear. That's what success does to people. Now, hands up anyone who hasn't seen Queen Charlotte of Romania in her bath.
A bust is knocked to the ground during the scuffle. Andrew then throws Maccabee over his shoulder. A man tries and fails to restrain Andrew. Another bust is broken as the scuffle continues.
Can't you stop them?
Why?
My God, a Pascal.
Get it stopped before anything else gets broken.
Who knows Pascal anymore?
Give them some fireworks, sir. Pascal has a magnificently erotic quality, and I do think eroticism has its place, don't you?
The woman turns to look at her partner. Fireworks light up the words, "Congratulations, Andrew." Andrew punches Maccabee in the face and rushes towards him. Maccabee tosses him into a fountain. The pair trade blows in the water as fireworks explode overhead. Back inside with Lut and the others and his art.
Excuse me.
Both covered in blood, the tired-looking pair continue to fight. Andrew strikes Maccabee in the face, knocking him into the pool before stumbling off. Others help Charles out of the water as Andrew dips his head into the fountain. Luke walks outside, passing the broken busts as his staff pick up the pieces.
My dear, what an exhibition. Does it hurt?
Yes, it does a bit. Did you think it didn't?
Well, there's blood all over you. This does rather round you and I off, doesn't it?
Now I've won you your reward.
Nothing is for nothing, sweetie. You're surprised how much this cost me. We're just bribing the jury alone.
Oh, come on. They selected it.
It had to look original, didn't it? I knew you could do that. You'd be surprised how many people thought Lewis had a lot to do with it.
All right, Andrew. You're a big boy now. You do it. But hear this. Just as dogs are only allowed one bite, so we are allowed just one big goodbye.
Andrew holds the tissue as Lute walks away. Hugh Dallafield is watching from the doorway. He grabs Andrew's arm as he walks past.
Ring me. And bring your golf clubs.
Andrew. Whatever it was you thought you wanted. Catch.
Lute throws him the award.
You won it.
Andrew walks off. He stops for a moment to give Louise a stern look before leaving. The award statue in close-up. Andrew folds the metal strip that Georgina printed between its two wings. He stands on a bridge as seagulls fly overhead. He takes one last look at the statue before tossing it into the Thames. Michael opens a car door for Louise. She approaches Andrew.
How are you?
Okay.
I've just thrown Jonathan's award away. Amongst other things.
Andrew turns to smile at Louise.
Have you got any food at home?
I think I've got some eggs.
They walk off together, arm in arm.
What'll you do now?
I don't know. I'll have to give Dallafield a call.
It's a hell of a lot to go through, to cross a road.
Still with blood on his face, Andrew opens a car door for Louise and they drive off together along the Thames. The end.